Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley.
And Beth Jacobson.
And we thank you for joining us this morning. Our show is a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality.
And currently our show is under construction. We are going from 3 episodes a week to 2, and we're deciding on the days. We still will have phone-in Friday. And if you've missed any of our podcasts, you can go in and to the archives and download a podcast at any time using your RSS or iTunes feed button. If you have any questions, any concerns, or if you have any insight on subjects you would like for the both of us to discuss or speakers come on, please email Marie or Beth at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. And also, if you want to start following our postings, you can also tune into divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. And we also have a Facebook page. If you'd like to go in and like our Facebook page, we do a half-hour free reading monthly. We choose an individual who likes our page. So we're getting to the end of the month, and we do it at the end of the month. So be that person that we do choose to have that half-hour free reading. So welcome, everybody, to our Sunday show.
Yes, good morning, good everybody.
Morning.
And, today we have a very wonderful guest. Her name is Jean Wallace, and she's going to be talking about a topic I think that is very appropriate for this time of year. Good morning, Jean, and welcome.
Good morning, Marie. Good morning, Beth. Good morning, listeners.
Good morning. So, Jean, do you want to tell us a little bit of background about yourself?
Sure. I work as a spiritual visionary, a psychic reader. I teach meditation also, give spiritual counsel, do Thai shamanic healing. I just kind of am a resourceress of all trades, as I call it. I've been studying spirituality for most of my life and doing it more public for about the last 15 years. So you'll see me around town here at little shows here and there online. So I'm very happy to be part of your show today and get to your listeners. And just I love talking about humanity and spirituality and how they converge. So thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome.
Appreciate it.
You know, Jean, I have a question for you. How did you get started on this? I mean, were you started this? I mean, I would assume, this is just my guess like many, it's either people are just waking up or if you've been doing it for 15 years, I'm just making an assumption here, correct me if I'm wrong, have you been very intuitive since, you know, as a child?
Yeah, I started out very intuitive, and my mother was very intuitive, although she shied away from it a lot, and so she mostly would only hear messages that were distressing, like, you know, some family member is going to die or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started to discover my own sense in that area of intuition, I started paying more attention to it and fostering it. But as an adolescent, I soon discovered that it was very easy for peers to be afraid of that and think that, you know, if they were close to you, then you knew everything they were thinking and, you know. And so then, you know, you were kind of, you know, not part of the group anymore. Mm-hmm. So then I would run away from it so I could be accepted and back and forth and back and forth throughout my life. But I always was guided to wonderful people that I could still talk about spirituality with and still have some time to be myself with and explore things on my own. And then I feel like I've had, you know, 3 or 4 lives in this exact lifetime because I had some very professional careers out in the world that I did, but the spirituality was always in the background. And then in the early 90s when it was popular for corporate business to downsize, I had the good fortune of being on the curve where they paid you to go away. And so they paid me to go away. And at that point, I had the opportunity to sit back for a while and go, okay, what's next here? What do I really want to do? And I decided I had brought forth the mental and physical part of myself very well in my careers, but the spiritual had always kind of been the background and that it was time to bring it to the foreground. And just again, was guided to, you know, three very significant teachers for me. Had some wonderful experiences both in this country and internationally to learn different healing methods and get introduced to different styles of shamanism. And just decided the way you go for it is you just go for it.
Wow. Yeah. I think, you know, it's interesting that a lot of us, you know, that's been my journey too, where, you know, you're aware of it all your life, but you don't really think you're going to utilize it in a professional capacity. And then you come into your own because of circumstances. You just, it's like when the timing is right, you come into it, and then that's where your path leads you.
Well, for me at least, I think that it's as soon as you recognize and get in line with the fact that it's not you that's doing the work,
mm-hmm.
that you're a vessel and a vehicle for delivering the work, that's
mm-hmm.
when it comes through.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, again, it's your ego that gets in the way, I can't do that, I can't tell people what's coming, or, you know, what if I'm wrong, or what if this, or, you know, all of that
mm-hmm.
gets going in you. And you can't operate from that place because you're closed down and you can't let the universal energy flow through you and be open to it. You know, like I've learned in all these years of doing readings, the information I get for a person doesn't have to make a bit of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
My job is
mm-hmm.
to deliver what I get. And very often it's exactly the validation that the person needed to hear.
Yeah.
But I'm so not aware of the intricacies of their life, I don't know that saying grandfather clock is going to make them, you know, fall apart in tears. And I've had that happen to me with people in sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just have to learn that it's not you that's doing it. You're
exactly.
responsible for keeping yourself clear, showing up and delivering what you get, you know, putting it out there. That's my
thing.
Yeah.
You know, you said you do a variety of modalities when you work with an individual. Do you have an area that you like a little bit more than the other, or do you like the blending of all that you do?
I view it very much as a toolbox I've collected, and when I'm with the person, it kind of comes up what's going to be the thing.
Okay.
Sometimes people come to me very specifically with what they want to accomplish, and then I'll get information on, okay, these are the tools I have that we can use. Like I do a series of inner child work with people and heal that child and integrate it. You know, but that's not something that I put out there and say, oh, you know, everybody has to have this done.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite like that for me. So, yeah, it's like I've got this bunch of stuff and what shows up, and if they're interested in going forward with it, then we do.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Well, Dean, you mentioned the word ego, and I know this is part of your show for today. So can you define what ego is?
I'll tell you what I've been taught and learned it to be. And everybody's got a little different feeling on it. But it's the show I'm on, so I'm going on my perspective, of course. Ego, as I understand and utilize it, is a tool of our mind. We often misidentify and believe it's who we are. It's very far from who we are. The ego, as I've understood it and seen it function, is a part of us that was designed to give us information that helps us promote our survival, okay? That means it's the thing that's in charge of saying, oh, watch out, that could hurt. You know, that
mm-hmm.
oh, that was a problem in the past. You know, it could be a problem here too. So very rarely is it coming up with happy messages, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to say danger, danger, warning, warning. Somewhere along the line in our particular mental evolution, or perhaps just our human laziness, which I think we have a penchant toward, we kind of abdicated our decision-making to it. So when it comes to us and says, danger, danger, warning, warning, you know, the last time you did a partnership with a redheaded woman, it didn't feel good. You better leave this redheaded woman alone. We start to take that as, oh, I better not do that. And we start to let that be our decision. And a lot of times it's important to override that information and really get beyond it to a true experience. An example of that would be if your first experience when you came upon a stove was touching it and burning yourself, every cell in your body the next time you got anywhere near a stove would tell you, don't go near that thing. But if you push past that and look for an experience in the moment, you'll understand that a stove can be a very useful thing to nurture you and support your survival, you know, because it's something that can go both ways depending on how you are using it.
Yeah.
So this is how I perceive the ego. And I think because we have given it over the power of making our decisions for us, we've been usually using it in a way it's not designed to function. So I always sense it like if you were the administrative assistant to the CEO of a company, okay, and you're doing your job and you know what your job is and you know what the CEO's job is and they're out there doing their job, but all of a sudden one day the CEO on a Friday afternoon says, you know what, I want to go play golf this afternoon. Will you just cover for me and just, you know, just tell them I'm in a meeting or something if people call for me? And she says, sure, I can do that. Not a problem. Okay. Well, then, you know, a couple of those Fridays happen, and pretty soon the CEO says, well, you know, I'd kind of like to have Monday off, too, and take a long weekend. Can you still, you know, kind of cover for me and just, you know, kind of make up reasons why I'm not here? And, you know, some of the basic stuff, you know how I'd answer it. Just give them the answer I would. Just put them on hold, say you talk to me and do it, you know. And, well, okay, she thinks she can do that. Well, pretty soon he wants, you know, Wednesdays and Fridays to go and play golf. And now she's just ready to tear her hair out of her head because she's being asked to take responsibilities that she's never designed to make judgment on. She doesn't even have all the information in order to make these decisions. And that's kind of how I see what we've done to our ego. We've got it out there trying to make it function in a way it was never intended or designed to. So I actually had a board meeting with my ego, because I'm the chairman of the board, and brought it in and said, you know what, I'm really sorry. I've been asking you to do a job that is far beyond your capacity or your desire to do. It's not what you're here for. And I'm going to take back my own responsibility in decision-making and allow you to just bring me information to help me make the best decision. And, you know, now when I get those messages of, oh, you better watch out for that, I go, thank you for that information, and now I'll make my own decision. It's very empowering.
I love that.
Doesn't that make some sense?
Oh, man, my body is just sitting with that. It's like, oh, just what I needed to hear today.
Yeah, because, you know, for one thing, the ego only knows the past.
Yeah.
It tries to project it like a screen on the future, but it really only knows the past.
Yeah.
And it has the judgmental capacity of a toddler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And we put it in charge of our checkbook, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
But, you know, if we realize what its job is, and I'm not saying don't listen to your ego, because, you know, there can be some valuable information that it delivers you to take into consideration. But
exactly.
You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in, you know, oh, you've got to eradicate the ego. I don't believe that's the point at all. You don't want to fight with the thing. It has no conception that it is a part of you, and it will bring you down. It'll kill you rather than give in.
Yeah.
So because it has no idea it's a part of you. But it's very task-oriented. It's very task-oriented. And if it starts to chatter at me and not leave me alone and annoy me, I just say, you know what, I really need the grocery list done. Could you go take care of that for me? You know?
Okay.
And it'll toddle off and do it, and it's very happy. It just needs focus.
Wow.
So
wow.
Is this helpful?
Yes.
Good.
I'm just like having aha moments over here, just so you know. I'm like, wow. I love it. I love it.
Huh. Well, and because what we are, we all know we're not our body.
Yeah.
And we all know we're not our mind. We are our consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, our body is the combination of our mother and father and everyone who came before. And then our consciousness drops into this body that it's chosen to accomplish what it's set out to do in this lifetime, which is usually just be who we are and like it before we die, which is certainly enough to handle. But nonetheless, you know, this is a time of year that it's so beneficial to come from the place of your consciousness, because the humanity in us has expectations and desires and competitions at this time of year. And, you know, it gets down to, naysaying us. If we're not in love with ourselves, it's going to find all kinds of ways why that should be so, you know, and why someone else is more worthy than we are and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But if you come from the place of your consciousness, you know, you can actually parent that child in you that is your humanity and say, you know what, I know you're feeling really bad about yourself today. But, you know, let's just do something for ourselves and kind of chill that. You know, I don't feel bad about you. Consciousness has no judgment on our humanity. It just is. And if we can get ourselves to that place of consciousness and self-acceptance, everything else gets so much easier.
It does. So, Jean, what is the difference then between ego and consciousness?
Consciousness is that eternal life that we have, the energy that we always are, eternally and forever. It is nature. See, we are not a part of nature. We are nature. And there's a difference in that. We are nature. It's my belief and practice that we are emanations of what I call source, and that's the energy of which everything is made. This doesn't mean that I don't believe that there's a God or a creator force in the universe, but those things we've given form to, and that form is made up of this energy that is the source energy of all things. And our consciousness is just one piece of that whole entity, that whole being that is the energy of which everything is made. Is that making some kind of clarity?
Yeah, that's very clear. Mm-hmm. For me, anyway.
Okay. So then, is intuition part of consciousness?
Yes, because intuition, you know, the best intuition, the best place to connect for intuition is to that, what you might call higher self, okay? Some people call it higher self. I sense consciousness has an even vaster vibration and higher view than that. But intuition, it comes from that feeling, that sense in the energy field, because, again, Our consciousness is the energy of which everything is made. So, you know, if a butterfly flaps its wings over here, it's felt over there, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And all energy contains information. For example, when I do a reading with somebody, what I do is I hold their hand. I hold their hand briefly so we connect our higher selves and the energies together. And then for me, it's just like opening a book and reading the information in that energy. So that's how it works for me. Now, I can use cards. Other people use all different kinds of things. Sometimes they're very important just as a jumping off space. Sometimes they're a good focal point. Sometimes the person who's coming for the reading needs to have something for their mind to focus on so it doesn't get too involved in rejecting the information, you know. The ego and the mind gets chewing on something. You know how it is.
Yeah.
It just doesn't let go. You know, so a little bit of magic has to happen, and you say, oh, look what's happening over here with these cards, but what's really happening is moving energy over here. You know, so it's a toddler. You distract it. Put a shiny thing on the table, and it's fine.
That's so true.
Well, it is. I'm not saying there isn't meaning in the cards. I read cards, and there's great meaning that shows up in the cards, and everybody's a little different in that. I'm just saying it all comes from the same place.
It is. They're good visual aids. Wow. That is really interesting. Very, very interesting.
So then, how do you integrate the two?
The ego with the consciousness?
Consciousness, yeah.
Well, you let the ego be the ego. You don't quite integrate it, but you can get it so it's not arguing with you. Again, by bringing it back to serving its function, it delivers you information. You know, you can say, you know, go feel this out and see what you get on it, kind of thing. But you want the consciousness to stay the consciousness with the big picture and the ego to stay the ego with the smaller concerns, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you're kind of, you become the observer of yourself, and I don't want to, this sounds similar to dissociation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, because you still feel your emotions, you still know you have your emotions, you still know you have your feelings about things, and it's important to have them, feel them, recognize them, honor them, and keep them moving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's the ego that hangs on to them. We're people who can't let go of something in the past that happened 24 years ago, and they're still going to gnaw over it on Christmas Eve with the family, okay? And you know that's going to happen in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
It does all the time. Or that's the finally, this is finally the year I'm going to tell everybody what I think of them. You know, please don't do that. But it's going to happen around America and probably the world, because that's what people do. Mm-hmm. But consciousness will say, you know, sit back, watch this happen. Just watch, just observe, just parent, just soothe, just nurture this person in you who's so afraid to have that feeling, who's so afraid of being in fear, who's so afraid they're not going to meet up to the expectations of others, who's so afraid that somebody else is going to give a better gift or get a better gift or, you know, whatever the thing is. However we measure and judge ourselves when there's no really good reason to do it at all.
Exactly.
You know, whenever we're putting things in the category of good or bad, better or worse, that's the ego. That's who does that. Consciousness doesn't do that. Consciousness knows everything just is. It is what it is. I'll give you that you can feel comfortable and uncomfortable, but that's not the same as good and bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's very helpful, because, you know, one thing you said about Christmas presents, I know that, you know, when families get together, there's always that issue of, you know, one person may not have enough money and the other person has a lot of money, and then they feel like, okay, maybe I'll do homemade gifts this year, or maybe I'll do this, and people struggle with that. So basically, you just have to let it go and say, hey, this is, you know, this is, I'm not competing with you monetary-wise, you know, this is the best that I can do, and this is fantastic for me.
Well, and if you truly believe and come from the place that a gift is an expression of love, then doesn't everything qualify?
Absolutely.
You know, but this is how people run their credit cards up and end up spending the whole next year paying off Christmas.
Yep.
You know, and it comes from our desire to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't feel worthy and we don't feel loved. And we're so busy looking for it sometimes that we don't stop to feel what's there and to really know that it is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think the greatest gift that you can get is like food, because somebody's putting their heart and soul into their food and love into that, and they can get creative with that. To me, that's the best thing you can get. Very creative.
Somebody gave me a plate of cookies the other day, and I told her, I said, you know, for one thing, they were delicious. Notice I use past tense.
Yep.
So I said, I did have to hide them from myself because I could have consumed them all in one sitting. Partly, they were just so beautiful, but there was so much love in every bite that I just wanted to gobble them up, you know, because I could tell they were made with such care and such love and such kindness. And, you know, and then to share something like that. Yeah, you know. So the real important way to get through this season is to connect with your consciousness. And the way you'll do that is by having some form of daily meditative practice. And meditation, you know, doesn't have to be a hard thing. There are many different styles and whatnot. But if you just sit still, close your eyes, and deep breathe for 15 or 20 minutes, you will be in the place of your consciousness. And that's where your power is. It's in the now moment and in your consciousness, the connection with the higher self, that which sees from the mountain. You know, when we're down here on the road in our humanity, we can't see that next curve coming.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when the rock is going to fall and have some kind of a, you know, an event happen. But if we're watching ourselves from up in our consciousness, up on the mountain, we can see that much differently. We can sense it. We can feel it. You know, and just if you take those times to calm yourself, and I know people go, oh, my God, 20 more minutes, something else to do on the list. You know, don't put it on the list. Make it part of a routine. You don't put it on the list, oh, let's see, do I have time to brush my teeth today, right?
Right.
No.
Right,
exactly.
It's part of your routine. And if you make this sitting in the silence, sitting in the stillness, doesn't mean your mind's going to quiet down. Your mind's not going to quiet down. But you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to talk to it. You don't have to engage with it. You don't have to argue with it. Just let it ramble. Just let it ramble and sit in your own self. And that can de-stress. For one thing,
yeah.
It changes your body chemistry completely into de-stress. And
yeah.
You know, there are more heart attacks at this time of year than any other time of year. And it's not all from
yeah.
shoveling snow.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
just the pressure we put ourselves under.
Exactly.
And for what reason, you know? Our bodies were not made for long-term stress, but that's what we're doing to it. And so
Thank
we've got
you.
To combat that, you know?
Yep. Yep.
There was a wonderful
yep.
old book out there called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. And it was all about the fact that, you know, a zebra has, oh, yeah, there's a lion, there's a threat, I've got to run like hell to get away from it before it eats me. Oh, that's over, you know, and then they move on.
Well, that is hysterical.
We don't do that. We go, oh, my God, there's a lion. It's going to eat me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Oh, yeah, God, I got away from the lion. Where's the next lion? Where's the next lion? I wonder if it's going to be another lion. I better watch
yeah.
out. I better be on guard for the lion. You know, this is what
yeah.
we do. That's
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah.
And it's not healthy. It's
exactly.
not healthy.
Thank you for saying that.
It is so wow. against what we need. So, you know, if you do that, you know, the minute that you close your eyes, you activate what's called the parasympathetic nervous system. That's the part of our nervous system that's for rest and relaxation, or we call it rest and digest, okay? As soon as you close your eyes, that happens. And as soon as you deep breathe, you start slowing your metabolism down. Now you're to the point where you're lowering your cortisol level, which is the high stress, long-term stress hormone that damages the very organ that tells it to shut off because our body's had enough.
Mm-hmm.
When we have too much of that hormone, we damage the hypothalamus so it doesn't turn off the production of the hormone that's hurting us in the first place. So, you know, this becomes a real horrible circular event. So, like I said, try to make it just part of your routine. 20 minutes. Close your eyes, breathe deeply, not hyperventilate, don't be an overachiever. You know, think of the rhythm of the waves on the ocean, and breathe in that rhythm. That's nature's heartbeat, so to speak. And if you just do that, if you can't do 20 minutes, if you're just hell-bent that you have not got enough time to save your life in that way, then do 10. I mean, do what you can do because something is better than nothing.
Right.
It will
Jean,
really help you get through the holidays.
Jean, don't you
and
think it's an
beyond.
Yeah, and
yeah.
beyond. Don't you think it's an investment in yourself to do this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I will tell you that it creates an energy field around you, and it does affect the people and the environment around you as well. And I have plenty of students that will attest to that.
Yeah.
It calms a work environment. It changes, you know, people that were annoying to them suddenly get new jobs and go away. I mean, it does amazing things. People
yes,
that
does.
Have had little, you know, little annoying work signs up, you know, little sarcastic kinds of messages on their cube wall and things. Those things start to come down. Nobody knows why. They just start to disappear.
Yes.
I mean, it changes your environment. Absolutely. And they
oh,
also
wonderful.
Say that it releases stress for 7 generations back and 7 generations forward.
Oh.
So you're doing some ancestor clearing of karma and old stuck energies and, you know, changing patterns. And you just start to notice that you... The way I first noticed when I started doing meditation is all of a sudden one day I went, oh, wait a minute, that used to really piss me off. I'm not agitated at that right now. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you just start to notice subtle changes, but they're big changes in the long run. You go, oh, I don't have to be upset about that anymore. I can look at this differently.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
kind of how I see that, you know, it works. I know it works because I've lived it for a long time. I have no doubt that it works.
I know it works, but I did not know that it helped with 7 generations before and after.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that
because
is great
when you meditate, you're opening up channels, so you're moving old stuck energy, old stuff that didn't move before. You know, that's really what the word karma means in Sanskrit, is movement. And it's not so much what the Western world thinks of as an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth kind of thing. That's
yeah.
not the original meaning of that word and that ideation. It just
yeah.
means energy that hasn't flowed. And that doesn't always have to be, you know, nasty stuff. Or what we judge as nasty stuff, it can be a hidden talent that you just haven't brought up because you've held back the energy that could bring it forth. So it can
mm-hmm.
be, you know, any number of things that can come up. But it does definitely create a different feeling perspective on the world and your involvement in it and other people's reaction to you. There's just a difference because every time you go into that kind of meditation, you kind of go into that big bucket of what I call source energy. And spirit always shows me this as a dipper going down into a well. And when you're done meditating, some of that dipper brings some of that water out or some of that source energy out with it. So,
yeah.
you know, eventually doing meditation long enough and consistently enough and, you know, as it is best designed to occur, your whole daily experience is in meditation energy. It doesn't feel different going in and out. You're just always in. You always have the awareness. That's enlightenment, always having awareness of your connection to your source.
Wow.
And that can be a very wonderful feeling, I would expect.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, so we're perfectly capable of having wonderful holidays, no matter what they look like.
Yep.
Okay? And that's the key. You know, that's why a lot of the Eastern traditions go on about, you know, not having expectations or desire. Desire just means expectations. Doesn't mean you're not going to want stuff. It just means don't expect to get it in the way that you ask for it. You know, but trust that you're going to get exactly what is best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what your holiday experience is, it's the experience that's intended to be. And what we're always in charge of is not what the experience that comes is going to be, but our reaction to that experience. We have
exactly.
full control over that.
Yes, we do.
You know, and you can go to the family thing and be all bent out and crazy and, you know, annoyed and carry that on for 6 more months, you know, pissing and moaning in the background to everybody who listened to you about how horrible the family was at the holiday time. Or you can go there and let people be who they are and you just remain who you are and let it be what it is.
Yep.
Don't expect
Excellent
it to be
advice.
Anything different and don't qualify it. It's not a good Christmas or a bad Christmas. It'll be a comfortable or uncomfortable Christmas.
Exactly.
But it's not going to be good or bad. You know,
right.
The gift is that we're here enjoying our creation. We're on the planet. We're here. We're able to connect with our higher self and have awareness of that. You know, our parents and grandparents volunteered to come down here and lay groundwork, knowing that they would never get to experience a connection with who they truly were.
Mm.
You know, what kind of a great soul does it take to do that?
Exactly. I've never heard it said like that before, Dee.
It's exceptional.
Wow.
It's exceptional.
Wow.
You know, in a way, we've got it easy. We came here with all the tools in place and, you know, the path, the road on the path hoed already. And we're, you know, showing up and trying to broaden the path and go a little bit beyond. But it's nothing compared to those who came knowing they wouldn't remember.
Wow. That is fantastic to hear it put that way.
Isn't it incredible?
Yeah.
That is,
it is
incredible. For whatever reason, it's just like, wow, you're hitting me the right way. So.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of that today.
You're in your ahas today, you said.
I am. I'm just like, wow.
It makes sense.
Put. Yes, it does. It
makes total sense. And then it really, you know, opens everything up to completely change your perspective so that you, you know, if you're dreading going to your family or you're dreading having that get-together, you know, you have a new way, a new perspective of looking at it, going, okay, you know what, this year I'm going to try this and let's see how different it is. And
exactly.
It gives you something, it gives you something to actually look forward to say, okay, how's this going to work out this time?
Yeah, it's kind of, you can turn it into an adventure, actually, you know.
Exactly.
And that gets the ego interested in going.
Right.
You know, and it stops waving flags and saying, don't go, it hurts. <You know? laughs> Then it kind of goes, oh, something new to look forward to. Oh, what are we going to do this time? You know, because rarely do we react based on what's actually happening in the now moment. We usually react to what's going on based on experiences from the past and fears about the future. You know, people tend to only think in one of two ways, and that's wishes and fears.
Yeah.
And rarely do either of those occur. Usually what happens is something in that entire shades of gray matter in between a wish and a fear. The extremes really never happen. So when I get that, oh, my God, I'm afraid this is going to happen, I go, oh, well, that's the extreme fear. That's never going to happen. I mean, the odds in that happening are pretty low. So then what? You know, I don't have to be afraid of that because that's the least likely thing. But I do have to plan and prepare for, you know, other possibilities. So, you know, it's hard to have a new experience. And I say that because most of our experiences, we're just rehashing an old experience. We're doing an old reaction to a past person who wronged us or who we wronged or who we were afraid of or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To have a new experience, you actually have to, number one, be in the now moment because that's where experience lives. Doesn't live in the past of what has been painful before. Doesn't live in the future of what you're afraid might be painful again. It lives now. So you have to be in the now moment and allow the experience you're having with someone to play out in now moment. You have to be present and wait and see. And if you've learned from a past experience that, oh, well, you know, I learned I always fall for that when they, you know, somebody tries to put one over on me. I've always fallen for that. Or, you know, I've jumped in and tried to rescue somebody when it was none of my business or whatever. So we'll learn from that. But, you know, just look at changing your pattern. That's all it's about, is changing the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what if I go this time and I don't, you know, sit on the same place in the couch? You know, chances are the sky is not going to fall. But, you know, you'll get people that, well, she sat at my place at the table. And that will be a big deal for somebody. You go, oh, well, I get to see a different perspective of this whole thing. I'll sit someplace else at the table. it's simple, but it's not easy.
Exactly.
Right, right.
They're two very different things.
And I think this would apply also not to, you know, personal relationships, but any kind of situation that you're going through in life, but, you know, maybe changing jobs or changing careers or, you know, having, you know, if people out there have, you know, with unemployment or, you know, maybe you know your position is not going to be there for a while, I think this would be applicable there as well, is getting rid of that fear.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Spirit told me the most interesting thing. I had a favorite definition about fear that I've used for many, many years, and that was fear is just the expectation of pain.
Yes.
Okay. And if we can let go of the expectation, we can eradicate the fear. Okay.
Wow.
Don't expect pain. You're going to create it. You know how powerful fear is to manifest.
Yeah.
You know, people would say, well, I'm not going to go to that party because if I go there, you know, it's going to be like this and that and the other thing. And then you say, oh, when I go, it'll be different when you get there and blah, blah, blah. And they go, they listen to you and they go and they call you back and they say, see, I told you it was just like I thought it was going to be. You know, well, yeah, that's, you know, guess who created that? You know, and even if it was different, you wouldn't see it differently because that's where your filter was. But recently, Spirit gave me a different definition of fear that I also have used and enjoyed, and that is fear is just a sign that there's a problem to be solved. Isn't that interesting?
Oh,
that is.
And
wow.
So when I've felt fear about something or anxiety, it's just another word for it, folks, but that's what fear is anxiety.
Right.
I've gone, okay, what's the problem here and how would I solve it? And it's made me feel so in control and in charge of, okay, well, if that happens, this is what my plan would be. And it's done. It totally eradicates that feeling of fear. I was amazed by it.
Huh.
Just amazed that that worked. So I encourage
you. It's so simple.
Try that on, you know.
Yes.
It's just a sign that there's a problem to be solved.
Wow.
So I think it's really true. There is nothing to fear but fear itself.
Exactly.
He was very right. How ahead of his time was that?
I know. Wow, you have given us such great information, Jean.
Well, there's a lot of it there. I am going on this morning, but it feels important to just, you know, follow how our conversation's going because it can be, you know, life can be wonderful regardless of your circumstances.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to say, Beth, when you were talking about, I think it was Beth that you said, you know, this can apply to other circumstances and not just, you know, relationships or holiday.
Oh, no, that was Marie. Oh,
okay, sorry, Marie. But, you know, one of the most common things I run into in doing readings for people about work, so I call myself a metaphysical business advisor. That's my MBA. But is when they're going to look for new work, it's they're limiting how they view themselves and their capabilities, and they're not casting a broad enough net to what they can apply for. They end up just applying for the same old kinds of things they've always done.
Yep.
Instead of stretching.
Yep.
And looking beyond and saying, oh, this is, you know, this whole thing might be a symbol that I'm ready to move beyond what my past experience is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, all the principles we've talked about today can apply to all the different circumstances we create for ourselves.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. because I, you know, coming from a different background myself, you know, I went into a field that's nowhere near what I went to school for, what my background was. But when I, you know, and now when I decide, okay, am I going to do something else, I always try to figure out, okay, I take my skills from what I learned from my previous, I call it my previous incarnation, and
mm-hmm.
see, okay, what's in my skills, how can I utilize these skills in what I want to do in the future? It doesn't
right.
have to be the same job.
No, because the skill set is a template. That's your template. And it can, you know, we can impress that just like cookie cutters. You know, we can put that on bread dough. We can put it on cookie dough. We can put it on chocolate cookie dough, you know, just whatever. It's the template. And that's what people, you know, because people so readily and easily understandably identify with what they do as who they are.
Right.
And what you do is not who you are. It is ideal if it is who you are and you can express it through what you do. It's just very uncommon.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know, it's one way to look at if you're going to find something new is, well, who am I really? And how can I most comfortably express that and get paid for it?
Yeah, that's the key. Get paid
that's
for it.
That's the key, yeah. We just want to get paid for it.
That's right. That's right.
Oh,
but
gosh,
you know, I really believe our whole economic, you know, fandango here for the last umpteen years, it seems, has been all about getting people to realize there is no security.
Exactly.
Stop looking for that.
Exactly.
Security is what you make it. There is trust. There is trust in spirit, but there's no security out there in the third dimension. Not what's happening out there. It's illusion.
Yeah, I think that message gets honed in every single day.
Yeah. I think people are finally getting it. You know, they're getting the part that there's no security. Whether they're getting the part that there's trust in spirit, that's still a little bit on the fence.
Well,
but, you know,
hard.
As people get pushed more to the wall, they're more ready to turn towards spirit. So it has brought people into seeing more of a spiritual perspective and taking more trust in spirit, I think, than they might have gotten there just letting the status quo continue as it had for so long. I do, interestingly enough, about a third of my reading business are for people that have never had readings before in their life. And I think that's a pretty high percentage myself.
Yeah.
I don't really know, but I think it is. And I think that's very encouraging that, you know, it's not encouraging that I sense more people are in desperation, but it's encouraging that they're finally turning to something spiritual. It might be out of desperation, but at least they're coming.
Right.
You know, at least the light's going on. And
they're
you know, starting to awaken to a different perspective.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool when you're the first one they're coming to?
It's very fascinating to me because when I first started doing readings, you know, one of the things I was taught is when you go into doing this, you have some control over, you know, what type of people you choose to serve and when you choose to be on. You know, I don't choose to be a reader that's having, you know, that I'm turned on all the time and constantly getting messages and that. No, you know, I turn it on, turn it off. That, you know, that I have my own rules about that kind of thing. And I thought when I started that, oh, you know, it would be nice because I had done so much spiritual study and had so much experience and information, and I think I was a bit arrogant, quite frankly. I was probably just naive and stupid, but, you know, arrogance could fit in there. Didn't feel arrogant at the time, but I was, well, you know, I don't want to work with beginners. I want people that, you know, already, that I don't have to say the same thing over and over, you know, teach them from beginning. I want advanced people and blah, 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 blah. Got my first opportunity to go out and do readings in a public place at a coffee shop, you know, on a regular basis. And the only thing I was getting were people that had never had readings before. So I'm going, well, this is exactly the opposite of what I had planned. So I went to Spirit and I just said, well, what's the meaning of this? You know, what's up with this? I thought we had an understanding. You know, no, I had a desire. We did not have an understanding. I had a desire. But what I was told was, you're a good first experience. And I went, you know, that's very complimentary, and I appreciate that. And I try very hard to be a good first experience with nothing scary or spooky or, you know. Again, I deliver information as it comes, but there's a way to tell people information that doesn't have to scare them.
Exactly.
And I think we've all, you know, run across people that have had difficult experiences in how they've received information from others or how they heard what they interpreted the information to mean, that then you kind of have to go back and kind of reframe things so it's more clear to them and they're getting the message as it was intended in the first place.
Hmm.
I think that's so hysterical that you said that, because that's what I have said, and that's the more I say I don't want something and I want something specific, I get what it is that I really don't care for. And it's like, okay, I get it. Thank you.
The cosmic override.
I tell you. You know, but that's really cool because I got that message too, the same thing. Well, what a great experience. You're the first one. So it's like, well, thank you. And
yeah.
So now you... Don't you look at it as it's an honor when people do choose you?
Absolutely. It's an honor and it's a pleasure, you know, to just see them willing to try something so new and so weird and so different, you know. And I just tell them, you know, if somebody had told me 30 years ago that I'd be sitting here doing this, or the kind of healing that I do and stuff, I would have lit my hair on fire and run out of the room, you know, rather than think I was going to do this. But it really is who I am, and it's when I feel most that I am being who I am. And it's the most joyful experience I have in my life. So, you know, I'm glad that nobody told me all that ahead of time and I didn't have an opportunity to reject it. So, you know, just know that, you know, follow the lead as your life starts to unravel. And show itself to you and go with it, you know.
Exactly.
Be in the flow of it, and it's all about trust, you know.
Yes.
I remember a time in my life where, you know, I was new enough at manifesting and all that, that I was into, you know, okay, you know, how is my money going to come next month, and how is spirit going to make it happen, and how can that happen? I don't see how it's going to happen, and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, spirit literally, because I hear words sometimes in my inner intuition, and the words I heard exactly were, how many times must I prove myself to you? And I went, you know, I wouldn't even ask a good friend to prove themselves over and over and over to me. When am I just going to understand that trust is trust?
Yeah.
And
right.
Just trust. It's not about reproving it every month over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Just know it will be there when you need it. Not the day before and not the day after, but it will be there when you need it. And I've lived my life like that for an awfully long time and quite comfortably.
Well, Jean, just because we're talking about that, what would you say to somebody who's saying, well, spirit isn't bringing it into my life? What would you say to them then? You know, the monetary source. I'm trusting, I'm allowing it to happen, but nothing's happening. What would you say to them?
Well, that would be something where I'd really have to read into that person and look at, you know, where do I feel the block in this? What's not flowing here? You know?
Okay.
And say... Okay, well, let's just rehash and let's talk about your beliefs and let's talk about your family, because a lot of times a pattern somebody has with money, you know, who else in your family thought about money like this, or who else in your family had a problem with money, you know? You'll often find that there is some kind of correlation there. And just looking at, okay, you're saying that you're trusting in spirit. Tell me more about that trust. You know,
oh, okay. Yeah.
Are you
yep.
challenging spirit? Is it that kind of trust? Or, you know, is it knowing? And because we're in a co-creative time, you know, we have to put our energy into it too. You know, it's like sitting home not looking for a job and expecting somebody to knock on your door. I suppose that can happen. It probably has happened to people. Is it the most likely thing that's going to happen? Not so much. You know, so you've got to put your energy into it as well. So, you know, and a lot of times I think we all can very innocently believe that we're, you know, doing what it takes to make something happen. And I truly believe that no matter what it looks like, everybody's doing the best they can with the information that they have.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's about either getting more information or settle down or, you know, let's talk about your fears about this happening. What would happen if you got the perfect job tomorrow? What is the perfect job? How would you feel about it? Well, I don't know. It's an awful lot of responsibility. How comfortable are you with that? You know?
Exactly.
So that I would explore it in those kinds of ways.
Well, I just find it interesting because there's many people right now that I'm in communication with, and it's all like the same theme. And I was just thinking, going, it's got to be a belief system. It's got to be, you know, maybe some ancestral stuff too. So it's like,
exactly.
And you're validating information that I was getting. So it's like, so then I'll know that's where I can lead them to on that, both exploring that and see what answers you come up with.
And sometimes it isn't that anything is blocked or wrong, so to speak, but it's all about timing. And spirit knows the timing.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
It's all about timing. Somebody on the other end, you know, isn't ready. The human resources person in charge of that is on vacation for a month or out on maternity leave or, you know, you don't know any of that stuff. So sometimes it doesn't have anything to do with the person who's trying to do the manifestation. It's just timing. But
oh,
you still go forward in faith. You still go forward in faith.
Yeah, and I think you really have to know that voice of ego, though, too, because your ego is You know what? It's you. It's this. It's that.
Yep.
They don't want you. They're not interested in you. You're not, you know, blah, blah, blah. You have to get out of that. And and also, too, if you're looking for a job, you know, get your ego out of it because, hey, you might not find that perfect job that pays you that what you want, but at least you have something that can
temporarily,
you know.
And it may be the job that gets you to where to meet a person who, you know, it's that kind of thing. But I really encourage people to not apply for jobs they don't want.
Yeah.
Like, people do that.
Yes.
I mean, I run into them all the time. So I applied for this, that, or the other thing. God, I hope I don't get it. I said, well don't apply to those things.
Exactly.
I've done that in my life, and it's a terrible feeling waiting for the phone to call and hating when it does. You know, that's just icky. Don't go there. You know, who wants a job out of desperation? No energy wants to be chosen out of desperation.
No.
That's just doomed from the start. You know, it's not going to last.
It's
not
going to
last,
fast.
And you're not going to last.
No.
It's amazing how fast you can create something out of desperation, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
Fear is a powerful manifester.
It is. It is.
And that's who's manifesting that, is fear. I told somebody the other day, they did something very generous for me, and I said, I'm really fighting the ego's, you know, the whole conversation on not being worthy of receiving this. And the person just laughed at me. She's such a wise woman. She laughed at me, and she said, oh, when I get that, I just say, oh, I'm not worthy, but thank you anyway. I said, I will adopt that immediately.
Exactly. Jean, you have just been joyful to talk to. I love it.
We've had a great time. I can't believe our time is nearly up.
I know. We've got about a minute left, so it's like, it went really fast.
You don't even realize how your messages are so simple, but yet so validating.
Yeah.
Simple but not easy. I'm just telling you.
Oh, yeah. Let me rephrase that.
I would greatly encourage listeners, because we've packed, I mean, Spirit channeled in so much information into this hour, to go back and listen to this again in archives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're going to hear different stuff than you heard even when you're tuned in. I'm probably going to have to go listen to it, too.
I go listen to it, and I get something different from it each time I go in and re-listen to our episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I got my message from it, so I'll have to go back, too, and listen.
That's the magic.
It is. Well, we are so blessed to have you on air with us. We so appreciate
you so much, ladies, for having me. It's absolutely my pleasure and joy to have been with you this morning. What a great way to start a Sunday.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks, Jane. And you have a fabulous Christmas.
Christmas,
and the same at you. And sit down and do your 20 minutes.
We will do that. Happy New Year also. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Yeah, the 2014. Who can believe that, huh?
Oh, it's going to be spectacular.
Amazing. Well, it's nice to have baby New Year all fresh and innocent.
Exactly.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, we will catch you all next Friday. Have a wonderful week, and we send you love and light. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.